100,000. Now, caps on excessive salaries should be introduced to save industries and redistribute wealth as coronavirus restrictions cause large swathes of the economy to shut down. This is according to the High Pay Centre, the left-wing think tank. They've called for the government to ensure existing resources were better managed to create a fairer economy, as the Bank of England predicts that unemployment will double to 2.5 million people by the end of the year. The report suggests 54% of the public would support plans for a government-mandated maximum wage, and nearly 70% would support a wage cap, limiting it to either 100,000 or 200,000 or 300,000. But how could this be governed, and would it even work? Luke Hilliard is executive director at the High Pay Centre. Always good to talk on this one, Luke. Let's start with the last point here. 70% would support a wage cap. I mean, this smacks of something a little bit communist to most people.
Well, I think rather than communist, I think it's more like common sense. Obviously, the UK economy is going to be a lot smaller than envisaged as a result of the coronavirus crisis, which means we've got to be more sensible about how we use the wealth that we do have. Obviously, people who are earning £200,000-£300,000 a year, that's, you know, puts you in the top 0.2-0.1% of the UK population, already lead a very comfortable lifestyle, far beyond the wildest dreams of most people, and probably don't need anything more on top of that. Conversely, there's a lot of people at the bottom and in the middle who are really struggling. And if we could somehow get some of the money that's going to those at the top and distribute it more evenly across the population as a whole, we'd raise living standards significantly for those who need it, and those who'd be losing out, the small minority, would still be very comfortable even after these redistributions have taken place. So I think what's not to like?
Well, it's kind of status thing, isn't it? If I start a company and I do rather well out of it and I employ, a couple of people around me, but, the fruits of my labour have shown that £500,000 is coming my way. Why shouldn't that be mine if I'm still paying my staff reasonably?
Definitely. And I think, people are saying, what we're saying is that if you, if you succeed in life and create a business or work your way into a high paying job, then well done you, and keep a whole bunch of it. But, in your example, the person who runs that business has presumably, been to school where taxpayers' money has helped with their education, give them certain skills and capabilities. They depend on the public transport infrastructure that we all pay for to move their goods from A to B.
True.
They depend.
But they pay tax. They pay a huge, an industrial amount of tax, of course, and put more in and take less out.
Well, I think, how much tax people pay varies from individual to individual. There are very many rich people who are not paying their fair share of tax, and that's one of the big problems facing the UK economy.
True.
And facing public services that depend on taxation.
But isn't that when you get into the kind of oligarch argument and the like? The average person that earns 300 grand a year could well be PAYE. They're paying their tax. They're also spending more. They take less out. They might use private health and private education. So in terms of the overarching impact that a rich git has on the economy, it's probably far greater than that rather kind of, dare I say, sensationalist headline that they're not paying their fair share.
Sure, and indeed, the tax stuff is a bit of a red herring, as important as the tax dodging is. I think what we're trying to say here is that, even if you have been successful, you have worked hard, have started a business, I think hundreds of thousands of pounds is a fair and proportionate reward for that. You do, you do enjoy a lifestyle that's beyond the wildest dreams of most people. On, say we talk about a wage cap of around £232,000, and if all earnings above that were distributed to lower earners, you could raise the minimum wage to about £19,000. Even with that cap, somebody earning that amount, they're going to be driving multiple luxury cars, probably own more than one property, multiple foreign holidays every year. A very nice lifestyle indeed, more than enough incentive and reward to start a business or to take on a demanding job. But if the earnings that are currently accruing to people in that bracket beyond the sort of £200,000, £300,000 mark were redistributed to the lower earners, you know, that would make a big difference to tackling poverty as well. And as I say, what we're talking about here is people who work. So we're talking about money that's currently used to pay the sort of top executives being used to give a bit of a pay rise for the same people, people in the same organization doing lower paid work. It's not like, you know, these are people who work hard for a living and don't get very much money for it. We've seen through the throughout the crisis how cleaners, carers, refuse collectors, delivery drivers, supermarket workers, they've really kept the country going at the moment. And I think the levels of inequality in this country, we are one of the most unequal countries in the developed world, don't quite fairly reflect how hard people work and what they deserve at both the top end and at the bottom.
But what if I've got my 300 grand and you're saying that, well, you can only have 100,000 of that? I'm thinking, well, hang on a second, because you know, I was going to start another company with my 300 grand. I was also going to donate, I donate to the donkey sanctuary. I donate to the, ferrets with back problems. I donate to all manner of charities. And you're going to stop me doing that, Luke, because you and your mates think it's a bad thing. When actually I do very good things with my money.
And I mean, it's worth saying, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing that people have money, but it's just a statement of fact that we don't have infinite wealth. And thus, we need to share what we have fairly and proportionally so everybody has a sort of decent standard of living. I think, people at the top would come to terms with that, particularly when, as I say, even after the kind of caps or redistributions that we're envisaging take place, they'd still have a very good standard of living. And then you've got to think that, all right, money that rich people would be spending is now going to poor people. But actually, the evidence is that rich people in general don't give that much to charities. The donkey sanctuaries and the ferrets with bad backs wouldn't really be leaving out. Rich people tend to hoard their money because they've already got so much of it. If you think about it, you can only drive one Ferrari at a time.
True.
Conversely, true. Poor people have more money. They haven't got enough to get by as it is. So if you give them a little bit more, they spend
it. So you give it to...
That generates okay. jobs in...
So you work really hard. You work your socks off all hours of the night, and then you just give it to somebody who hasn't done that. That doesn't seem very fair, does it? Is there a template for this happening anywhere around the world?
But that's not that's precisely not what we're saying. We're saying
it kind of is, isn't it?
Not really, because what we're saying is that the top executives at companies taking hundreds of thousands and millions should give some of that to the hardworking workers at the bottom of their companies who aren't getting enough. I think the sort of in terms of hard work not being rewarded in this country, I think most people would agree that we've got a far bigger problem with cleaners, carers, security guards, delivery drivers, low-paid workers who work like hell in physically demanding jobs, in the jobs that were most exposed to risk of the coronavirus, and yet still not getting enough to make ends meet, rather than people who earn hundreds of thousands needing even more. I don't think that's the case.
But is there anywhere around the world where your suggestion is in place and is working?
Well, what's quite a good example is from the Second World War, where, caps were effectively implemented on captains of industry. So they couldn't, they couldn't earn more than a certain amount effectively. Yeah. And that was on the same principle because...
So that was emergency legislation, right?
The available resources... were needed for the war effort, just as our resources now are needed to raise the pay of low earners, to help the economy through a difficult period. And it simply was inefficient to be lavishing hundreds of thousands, millions on the top executives.
All right, I step in there for time. Luke, always a pleasure to talk, sir. Thank you. Luke Hildyard, who's the executive director of the High Pay Centre. I think we can extrapolate from that, his last answer, there actually isn't anywhere around the world that is doing this, introducing a cap on excessive salaries for executives and the like. Apparently 70% of the public would support a wage cap. It could either be £100,000, £200,000 or £300,000. It kind of sounds rather worthy, doesn't it, in principle? Until you're the person that's happened to work their socks off to get that money. And I'm putting aside those that sort of luck in slightly and have that. We've all worked somewhere where somebody gets curiously promoted and you cannot for the life of you work out how. But that's just a curious quirk of life. It ain't always fair. 0344 499 1000. We'll go to your calls on Talk Radio next.
Across the UK, online, on DAB and